Where he get this? Let's just welcome Woody Woodson, please.
What an exciting time to be living in. You know, I love giving good reports, and last night when I went back to my room, I received a message behind the scenes for one of the people that we've been working with that has been rescuing the young ladies from the sex trafficking industry, and they went into a heavy intercession a couple of weeks ago, and just last night he sent me an article about one of the largest sex trafficking groups in the country that was shut down last night in Miami, Florida. So we are super excited about that. So, you know, you don't stop praying. You know, if God's put a burden on your heart, pray in that area. I want to say a quick prayer for my niece, Grace. She's pregnant and bedridden right now. The baby's due in another month, but she's been having contractions, and I talked to her, and she basically said, she has two other beautiful kids. In fact, if you see the Gerber baby, that's her son, literally. Literally, the new Gerber baby is her middle child. And, but she, basically said both their two other children were 3 weeks late. Now this is over a month early, so she's having little problems just dealing with that area, but both mama and the baby are healthy. But let's pray. Can we pray just for a second? Father, I just thank you. Lord, we just come into agreement with your will. We declare that the baby is whole, healthy, blessed, and Lord, that he will come out at the right time, the exact right time, the time you have planned. We pray for an easy, safe delivery in the name of Jesus. And we also pray for amazing grace upon Grace's husband, who has to deal with a bedridden wife and two little kids that are under four. So bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, how many of you understand God wants you to win and win big? Come on now. He's into victory. Come on. He always leads you in triumph. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory. I think you've heard that one before. Come on now. You know, all his promises are yes and amen. So, you know, the naysayers are just unbelievers. Come on. Because all his promises, it's impossible to be negative and walk with God. Because he's always talking faith. Come on now. You must understand that. It's the kingdom language. And how many of you understand, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:12, that when the righteous triumph, there's great glory. Come on. See, God wants you to win. I mean, every parent wants their kid to win. Come on now. I remember, back in 2012, when my son was at the Intel International, and it was in Pittsburgh, I believe at the Coliseum there, and they had, about 12,000 people in attendance, and when they announced his name, and there were 66 nations involved, and that, he won the American Meteorology Society top award in the world, for his weather app, he was really excited. But there's one person, probably two, because my wife probably was too. I don't know. I know it was me, though. I mean, I was probably more excited than he was. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, he ran forward and had his picture on the Megatron and all that stuff. And, I mean, he's jumping up and down. I'm screaming, man. I believe God just, you want to get God to arise, start winning. Come on now, that's my boy, that's my girl. Hey! he doesn't get a whole lot of the glory when we're defeated. Come on. Let's go to Matthew 24:14. I'm going to have fun. We're going to still be on kingdom authority tonight because I can't leave it, because honestly, what the enemy is trying to do is to keep the church from being the church. That literally, you know, we found out in Matthew 16 that when Peter said, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And ecclesia actually was also known in the Roman Empire as the parliament. It was the group, that the ruling body that set the laws. So literally when he used the word ecclesia, which we call church, they interpreted it as a government. Come on now. And Jesus was basically preaching kingdom. And he said, now my government is coming back and is going to get back in charge. Come on now. That's what he's saying. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose. I give you the keys of the kingdom. It was God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Come on now. In Matthew, see, if I was the devil, I would basically hide kingdom authority. Because as long as you're deceived, he's in charge. He has no authority unless you give it to him. But if he deceives you, you'll give it to him. Come on now. And Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end should come." See, literally, the message that will bring Jesus back is the kingdom of God. It is the message. And until the church gets it, he cannot return, because the enemy will not be made his footstool until we understand the authority that we have. Come on now. And we need to begin to see that thing changing. The gospel, it should be preached. You see, our authority level is connected to our faith level. Come on. Understand that to the degree you believe is the degree you operate in authority. So what the enemy always tries to do is mix unbelief in. Because honestly, without faith, you can't please God. And without faith, you can't even draw God. Come on now. You have to believe. You have to believe. You know, what constantly Jesus was saying, according to your faith, so be it. Come on. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So we're in here basically to have a faith lift tonight. See, and I was sitting there, and you know what God told me? He said, I want to begin to resurrect dead things. I want to resurrect dead visions. I want to resurrect, come on now. And one of the things, he basically had me. He was dealing with me, so I'm going to deal with you. Come on now. But, one of the things he basically said to ask, when did you stop believing that you would influence the region? Because I honestly believe we got to go back to the place. Come on now. Just like when Jesus came up and Martha and Mary complained, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What would Jesus say? Where have you laid him? Tell me the place you stopped believing. Tell me the place you allowed the dream to die. Come on now. And many of us, God's trying to bring us back to that place because it died before its time, and God wants to resurrect it. Come on now. And he's saying the deal is still on. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Come on now. So where did you lay it? Every one of us, we have certain things that have been buried. We buried them. Not God. God says, bring me to the place. Let me touch it. Let me resurrect it. Come on now. Is that okay? I believe we have to believe. For the sake of other people, we have to believe. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, the church of Christ is going to move from being congregational to being congressional. Moving outside the walls of our gathering places into the halls of kingdom legislation. T until you recognize the government of God and the authority of God, you're not going to exercise in it. And we're going to allow the devil to do things he has no permission to do, but he has had permission because we haven't forbidden it. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. What's going on in our schools is not God's will. Come on now. What's going on, you know, the racial division in this country is not God's will. Come on now. So much that's going on is not God's will. But sometimes we pull back and we act like we're little victims because we don't know who we are. Come on. I believe it's time that believers stand up and become the voice of God on earth. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, without a revelation of the kingdom, Satan still rules the earth through deception. If a society or culture remains the same after Christ's church shows up, the church is not being the church. Anytime the church is being the church, it reshapes the entire region. Period. I'm from a place. I mean, trust me, I know. Because where I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma, literally is a Christian culture. Period. You go to restaurants, they're playing Christian music. I'm the unofficial chaplain of a grocery food chain. You know? Which is a hoot. What happened was I went in there, basically started buying some people's groceries. And God told me, he said, you know, I saw people going up there. See, how many people understand this? It's sometimes one act of kindness will put you in rulership. And I'd look and I'd see expressions on certain people's faces, and I recognized the expression because I remember the days when, and I didn't have any credit cards. Period. Nobody give me credit. Yeah, I mean, my wife wouldn't go grocery shopping because she didn't want to get embarrassed. So I'd be looking and wondering if I was going to have to put items back because I only had a certain amount of money. And God kind of brought me back to that one day, and I hadn't thought about it. And I looked back, I was in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. I'm from New York. I was born hurried. You know, when we buy a car, we never looked at the engine, just the horn. Come on. But, you know, but I'm going through. I'm about ready to leave. And I look back and I see this lady. And I looked at her expression. I recognized it. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. If you will help those who were where you were, you'll never have to go back there again. That was years ago. So I went over and I told the cashier because I watched them put some items back. I said, don't do that. I said, you're not paying for anything. I'm buying your groceries. Oh, she said, you don't have to do that. I said, yeah, I do. Well, you know, I said, just let me bless you. Come on. Well, I began doing that on a fairly regular basis. Now, you understand, I had shopped in that grocery store for years. Everybody knew I was a Christian. You know, everybody knew that this is a preacher. But until that time, they didn't know I was real. Come on now. You know? I was just like every other preacher that went through. But all of a sudden, I started having people come up to me and say, well, you know, can you help me? My son has cancer. Can you help me? I'm going through a tough time with my marriage. And next thing you know, I start counseling people. Next thing I know, I get a phone call from the owner of the chain. And he said, I heard that you've been ministering to my people. I said, yeah, I have. He said, we have 18 stores in Oklahoma. Do you mind if my employees that have problems, if I send them to the location nearest your house? And if you're in town, can you help them? I said, yeah, I can. But it all started with an act of kindness. How many of you understand? We're carrying some. Faith works by love. We're called to influence. The church is not being the church unless it's influencing things. I'll be honest, I have influenced that grocery chain. Every store now plays Christian music 24/7. They weren't before. It was country and western, which most people think are the only two forms of music. But, you know, but now it's mostly contemporary Christian music in all the stores. See, that is the influence. You begin to shape a culture. Come on. See, I've learned that our assignment, God will give you assignment. Let's go to Genesis 2:15. I'm going to ask you, if you can begin to locate your garden. Because God has given you a sphere of influence. Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. I believe there's areas of our life God says, this is your ground, this is your portion. Cultivate it, keep it, determine what comes in, determine what goes out. Come on. I've put you a watchman over this arena, not every arena. But this is your portion. You keep it. Come on. And if you do it right, I'll give you more portion. Come on now. If you're faithful in little, I'll make you faithful over much. And if you're really faithful, I'll put you over cities. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, you determine. How many of you understand? We determine whether God shows up or not. We literally have the keys of the kingdom. And we have the keys that open gates and shut gates. This is a gatekeeper church. You determine what comes in. You determine what goes out. You may not be the authority in the natural, but you are in the authority in the spirit. Which means we can pray and God can influence those in charge or remove them. Come on. You know? This makes sense. See, we are God's method. He governs and protects the earth through us. Period. You know, how many of you understand the reason most of you are not dead is somebody prayed. Someone in authority prayed when you were being a jerk. Come on now. And because of that, you didn't overdose. You didn't have that accident that should have killed you didn't. Come on. I mean, I've seen things. I mean, I have this one guy, and I was talking about the importance of praying when God chose you. So if God wakes you up to pray, don't go back to sleep. There are times you have to pray at that moment. And he said, 2 days later, he said, you saved my kid's life. He said, I woke up at 2 a.m. and God spoke to me. And actually, I woke my wife up too and said, we have to pray right now. Our sons are in trouble. And they were coming back from Florida, heading up to Maine. And they fell asleep. And, basically behind the, wheel of the car, fell asleep. There was a truck in front of them, and literally the fact the kid said that, he said I woke up and saw the truck and knew I was going, that was it. And he said, it should have taken our heads off. He said he felt a hand push him flat, and he said I watched my brother who was on the back seat, and something threw him to the ground where we're totally flat. And they showed a picture. There was no top of that car at all. It was shaved all off, and they walked out of there without a scratch. But because the parents prayed right before, come on now, at that moment, I believe that's authority. Come on now. I believe that we can begin to see things change if we'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God and actually believe our prayers make a difference. See, if we don't believe our prayers make a difference, we don't believe in the authority of God. We just don't. Come on now. It's good stuff. Thank you very much. See, God will give you keys that will open doors no one can shut and shut doors no one can open. I remember that, you know, that scripture means, that's Revelation 3, 7, 8, the key of David opens doors. I believe there's doors that are supposed to be open, but we haven't used the keys to open them. I believe there are doors that are supposed to be shut, and we haven't used the keys to lock them. Come on now. But I think we're going to change. You know, I remember years ago, I was in college. I was at the University of Richmond. And, you know, I'll never forget in my prayer time one day, the Lord said, go to ORU. I didn't even know what ORU was. They said, go to Oral Roberts University. I thought Oral Roberts was Brigham Young. I said, Lord, I'm not going to a Mormon school. He said, go to Oral Roberts University. So I actually went, and I knew there was a show on TV. So I watched the show on TV. I was happy to find out at least it wasn't Mormon. Yeah. But how many of you ever get caught in your brain? God said, I want you to go. But I had already spent 2.5 years worth of study time. I just went in the off season when I played ball, professional baseball, University of Richmond. And I felt, when I contacted ORU, they'd say, hey, you're still going to have to take about 3.5 years to get your degree because a lot of these things don't count. Well, in my fat, lightning quick brain, I thought, if I continue to University of Richmond, I can get my degree in 1.5 years, and I can go to seminary and get a master's degree at the same time frame that if I went to ORU, I'd have an undergraduate. It made sense. How many times? Sometimes God doesn't make sense. You know? So I explained that to God. How many of you have explained things to God? Come on now. Because I didn't know if he knew it or not. I said, Lord, let me explain how this works. You know? And that's why he sits in heaven and laughs. So, you know, he's telling me this stuff and he said, go to ORU now. I said, in 1.5 years, I'll obey you. But right now, it doesn't make sense. So I went home. It was during Christmas break. And I went to see this prophet friend of mine. I love prophets except for when I'm not in the will of God. You know? And I walk up to this guy. I mean, he's an older man, but he was a wonderful man of God. I ring the doorbell. And the first thing he said to me was, God told you to change schools, didn't he? I said, yeah. He said, are you going to do it? I said, in 1.5 years, I will. He said, if you go back to the University of Richmond. He knew where I was going. He said, you go back, you're going to get hurt, and you're going to get hurt bad. And I still went back. And then, you know, stupid, dumb and dumber. I was thinking about that when I hit the deer a week ago. Well, you know, when I hit that deer, I knew when I called for that one meeting, it was a filler meeting in between the other meetings, and something in my gut said, don't. But I thought, hey, I get a chance to preach to people. It just makes sense. How come when it makes sense, it costs dollars? Come on now. But, you know, so I admit I was disobedient. I didn't put it together until today. I thought, oh, God, that's what happened. Forgive me. Because I kept saying, who opened the door? He said, you did. Come on. Yeah. So I went out, and I'm playing a pickup basketball game, and we were about 5 white guys who couldn't jump, playing against 5 black guys who couldn't shoot. So it looked like a half-court game, because they would shoot and miss and get the rebound, shoot and miss and get the rebound, shoot and miss and get the rebound. So the coach is watching this, thinking it's a half-court game. So he's getting a volleyball pole to set up for the next gym class. Well, we get a rebound. So they, you know, my friend got the ball. He throws it down. I'm not looking for a volleyball pole. I'm looking for a basketball. And he throws it down. I got my eyes on the basketball, and the pole hit me right in the stomach. Now, when I see knights in shining armor, you ever see that? I hurt every time I see it. And the next thing, I woke up 10 days later, had internal bleeding, ruptured the spleen, and basically the doctors said if they operate, I would have bled to death, and without an operation, I was going to bleed to death. So they didn't know what to do, so they just kept me in ICU on all these tubes. I woke up with a nurse on the bed, crying, saying, "You're going to die." I also woke up with a priest coming and sprinkling me with water and speaking some Latin over me. And I kept thinking, who cares if I die dry or die wet? In fact, I went out and bought him a super soaker later on to make his job easier. You don't even have to come in. You go long distance, baby. But, you know, but I'm sitting there knowing. I mean, I can't speak. I got tubes up, you know, everywhere. But you can still speak when you can't speak. You know, I've led people to the Lord who could not mouth it. But I say, if you agree with this prayer, squeeze my hand. You know? And I believe that they actually prayed it on the inside. And I was in a situation where I couldn't speak, but in my inside, I said, okay, God, I'll go to ORU. That's all I said. I'll go to ORU. All of a sudden, the monitor, I stopped bleeding internally, and the monitor clears up. And I lost 65 pounds in 10 days. I have this new weight loss video. The pole in the stomach method. But, you know, so I call ORU up. It's a long story, but I call ORU up, and the guy says, "We don't have any room. You can't come." I said, I told the guys I have this strong gut-level feeling I'm supposed to be there. I said, I really don't care whether you have a room or not. I'm going to live on the campus. If I have to set up a tent on the campus, I'm living there. So when I showed up, they had no room at the inn, literally. So they actually cleared out a closet, a storage closet. And for the first week, my first week at ORU, I lived in the closet. I was one of those that came out of the closet. Come on now. A room finally opened up. That's the truth. But see, I've learned that, you know, I have told the guy, I said, if God opens a door, no man can shut it. And God's opened this door, so I'm coming. Come on now. Too many of us, we take no as an answer too soon. Come on. Someone says it now. Well, if God says yes, who's to say no? You know? I understand authority. I mean, when God spoke to me to start a Bible study in every high school in Tulsa, I went to Edison High School, and the principal says, as long as I'm principal here, you'll never have a Bible study on campus. And his secretary went to my church. And I said, God said. He said, I don't care what God said. I looked at him. I said, buddy, I'm coming back next week. And I said, I'm going to have a room. I said, I don't know if you're going to be fired, expired, or retired. But God said. Then I went back and I called everyone in the school district and said the principal did not want to have a Bible study. And I said, if you disagree with that, this is his phone number. I got a phone call from him and said, "Just, I'll give you a room, just leave me alone." Later on that year, he's the one that brought Keith Green on and literally did a concert, the No Compromise concert, and we had 750 students get born again. Come on now. Everything changed. What I've learned is when you take a no for an answer, when God says yes, we're being disobedient. Second, you know, King 6:1 says the place we're living has been too limited for us. And I'll be honest with you, we have been limited by our own unbelief. We've been limited because we don't understand that God's in charge, and literally under God, we're in charge of the things he's given us. Come on. You can be the influencer. You can shape your world. You can be a difference maker in your realm. Not, again, I'm not trying to make you, it's not a huge thing. It's your thing, but should be huge to you. Come on. I don't want to just play church. I want to take back the different elements. I want to see us, you know, the righteous ruling in business. I want to see the righteous back in Hollywood. Come on now. I want to see the righteous in the arts. I want to see him back, the righteous rule in school systems. Come on. See, how many of you understand what we're talking about? That's, you know, God is trying to bring that. He's governing the earth through his kid, through his kind. The ruling DNA is on the inside of us. See, Jesus left no doubt of his ownership of this world. He established authority over the laws of nature by walking on the water. And be honest with you, if you needed to get somewhere, you could walk on the water too. Don't try to do it unless basically you have a word on it. But I've watched God do things that are not possible. With man, it's impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. But we've limited ourselves by allowing man to have more authority than God. Yes. Come on now. Many people, if they go to a doctor, they think his report's the final one. Guess what? Because they believe that, it is. Whose report will you believe? I mean, Jesus controlled the forces of nature, altering weather patterns by speaking to the wind, rebuking storms. We can do it. I've done it. I'll continue to do it. You know? I believe once we understand who we are, we're going to see the supernatural. I believe once we begin to operate in the kingdom, there should be evidence that the king is present. Come on now. He triumphed over the laws of physics, multiplying food, turning water into wine, translating his body from one place to another. You know? Destroying trees by just speaking to them. Come on now. I mean, some tree huggers would have hated Jesus. I was hugging that tree. You know? But Jesus, if you believe and don't doubt in your heart, whatever you say will come to pass. That's what he said. And like I said, he's the one that has to give you the faith for it. So he's not going to author wacko on you. You know what I'm saying? I've been around spooky spiritual people. I've seen been around people too good to be true. They always are. But, you know, there are moments where God asked me to do things, and I said, God, that's not the normal way. Well, it is now, because I asked you to do it. He demonstrated authority over the animal world using the fish to collect money for taxes. I'm sure that's why a lot of people go out fishing. Come on. He had dominion over disease, healing multitudes. What would happen if we would actually take authority over the spirit of infirmity? I believe, you know, literally, God's given us the power and the authority. Come on. To break the power of the evil one. And sometimes, be honest with you, not all sickness is a spirit, but guess what? It's all caused by the devil. And sometimes you'll never get someone healed unless you get them delivered. I was doing the meeting one time. I'm going up and down the aisle. We're having great results. This was this lady. She was a young lady. You could tell she was beautiful, even though she was all she had extreme arthritis, crippled up. I went to lay hands on my wife, was with me in the prayer line. She slaps my hand away. I said, don't you lay hands on her. I said, what? She said, don't you lay hands on her. And she gets in front of the young lady, says, look at me. She said, are you going to forgive him? Or are you going to stay crippled the rest of your life? And she had been abused as a little girl over and over and over again. And the person that abused her was already dead, but she's crippled up because of unforgiveness. And she screamed out, I can't forgive him. And my wife said, yes, you can by faith. He said, if you're not willing to forgive him, you might as well sit down because you're never going to be healed. Now, that may sound harsh, but it was reality. She basically said, Lord, I forgive him. Help me. Forgive him by faith, but help me. And all of a sudden, we watched her begin to cry out, and you could see God rising up. She straightened right up. Now, she had been in that condition for years. She straightened right out. She walked back to totally healed, was whole from that moment on. It was a spirit of infirmity. Come on now. Until that root issue was dealt with. That's kingdom authority. You know what kingdom authority is? It gives you insight. Well, you know, the gifts of the Holy Ghost is kingdom authority. God will show you sometimes what is blocking something. Yeah. Come on now. Because many times what we think it is, isn't it? Come on now. You know, it can be an issue. And to be honest with you, in the natural, you can know why this girl had trouble forgiving. But I've learned, until you put people in God's hands, he cannot put his hand on you. Come on. Does this make sense? See, you know, Jesus displayed authority over death. In fact, if Jesus showed up to a funeral, they didn't stay dead. You know? I have a really kind of a good record in some ways. Everyone I've married has stayed married. That's an amazing thing. I've been in ministry for close to 40 years. Never had a couple divorce that I performed a wedding on. But everyone I've buried has stayed married. I'm not real happy about the second part. You know, I mean, that's just like, you know, that's, anyone can say that most, at least, except for Jesus. And a couple of people I know have raised the dead a lot. But see how many people, there were new creation. And there's a race of humans now on earth filled with the life and nature capable of relating to him and as father and managing the incredible home he made for them, if they only realized it. God literally has given the earth to us. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he's given to the sons of men. He said, hey, I'm giving you all the authority, everything you need for this place to be fruitful. Everything you need for it to thrive. But because we don't know who we are, come on. The whole earth is in travail waiting for us to wake up to our identity. We were given the keys of the kingdom. See, how many of you understand you are made to change the culture of everything? The moment you were born again, it should affect your entire family. Because both you and your household shall be saved. It should. That's Acts 16:31. I know that with my family. I've done this. See, I do this stuff personally. I take control over the territory God gives me, literally. My family, my entire family, my extended family still reflects me. When I first came in, I was the first one saved in my family. Had 100 people in my family, all unsaved, relatives I knew. I was the first one in. But I grabbed hold of it. I wasn't going to let any of them go to hell. And I began to hold on. Some of you have people you're holding on for. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. You are the one, basically, keeping them alive sometimes. Come on now. And I would hold on, and I knew the key to my family was my dad. I've mentioned that before, and I might as well tell the story again. But I'm sitting there, my dad was one of the leading attorneys in America. How many people say almost every family has one mover or shaker? The entire family goes through them. You know, now it's me, by the way. I know I am the influence of the entire Woodson clan. They reflect me. But my dad was, back in those days, my dad was one of the leading attorneys in America. He was a professional sewer. You know, my dad had two strikes against him because my dad was a genius, and it's very difficult for intellectuals to receive Christ because faith is of the heart, it's not of the head. You can't totally figure God out. And my dad was a rich man. And the Bible says it's very hard for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God because they don't see their needs. You know, when you're poor, you know you have needs. You know, people always say, I wish I would be rich. You know, how many people say the most miserable people in the world are rich people without Christ? Because at least the poor people think if I was rich, I'd be happy. Yeah. You know, and the rich people without Christ, they realize there's still the emptiness. Come on now. So I was praying for my dad, and I used to get a phone call every week from his lawyer friend, and he would say, your dad loves you. It's amazing. My dad never told me he loved me. He had his partner tell me. I mean, literally, he'd be in the same room with him sometimes. The guy would call me. Your dad loves you. You know? So I said, tell him I love him too. And I remember one time I said, and kiss him on the cheek. Every time I tell my dad I love him, I kiss him on the cheek. Well, I never had done that. I just wanted to see what my dad's response was when this guy kissed him. He almost got fired, but it was kind of cool. So, but I get one of these days, I finally get a phone call, and it's my dad. I know something's wrong. And I'm in the sense that I read, you know, spring training camp, and he calls me up and he said, take a deep breath. And he said, your mom's committed suicide. And for the first time in my dad's life, he couldn't write a check and make the pain go away. And he couldn't go to a book and that would explain what just took place. And he said, I don't know any preachers. Now, I see, nobody in my family had gotten saved yet other than me. But he said, will you preach your mom's funeral service? I was ordained through Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The first time I ever preached to adults with my mom's funeral service, I had done a lot of teenage stuff. And I'll never forget that day because it was a major day. I mean, because, you know, because of who my dad was, there were all sorts of dignitaries and everybody at the thing. Fancy place, fancy funeral. But I preached the message, and my dad got radically saved. About 30 other people did, too. And then he said, I wanted to go to church with you. I didn't want him to go to church with me. I mean, I kept thinking, what type of church do you take my dad to? Sort of charismatic? I mean, he's a wealthy man. So I wanted to maybe thumbs up, not hands, but thumbs. Not dancing, but maybe tapping a toe. Come on now. A church with a parking lot full of Mercedes and Cadillacs. The only problem is I went to an inner city church. There wasn't a parking lot. There was an armed policeman that they hired for the three cars that were there, so they'd still be there after the service. We didn't, you know, Dr. So-and-so wasn't our pastor. Our pastor couldn't spell doctor. Our pastor couldn't spell DR, probably. We had two services, one in Italian, one in English. They both sounded alike. We had a guard dog that lived in the church. He was kept in the office, and there was like a chimney in the office. That's where they kept the money. And many times when you're preaching, you would hear the dog barking. It meant that someone broke in the office to steal money, and the dog had chased a thief up the chimney. So we had to stop the service to rescue the thief. It's inner city ministry. So my dad said, I want to go to church with you. So I began to pray. How many of you have ever prayed this prayer? Lord, my daddy's going to church tomorrow. You haven't been moving in the gifts of the Spirit lately. Don't start tomorrow. Lord, tone it down. Tone it down. Lord, you know about Sister Chicken Walk. When the Holy Ghost hits that woman, she's everywhere. I said, Lord, there is a 24-hour virus going around. Don't kill her, but keep her away. And Lord, you know the pastor. He's not very eloquent. He doesn't even know what eloquent means. But let him use more than one syllable words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. He didn't hear a word I said that night. So we're getting to church early. How many of you know almost everyone always sits in the same seats? Have you ever noticed that? I have this theory. People rub their scent into their seat. They mark it. It's theirs, baby. In fact, I've watched it. Yeah, I've been to church. I go to church where they have 7,000 people per service. I know where 5,000 people will be each time. I know. They never change. Even the balcony people. They are the balcony people. I've watched when someone's been in their seat, they come over and they kind of lean down and sniff like, really, dude? So we're on the way to church because I wanted to sit in the front because my Sister Chicken Walk always sat in the middle. I didn't want my dad to see her. On the way to church, my dad says, is it going to be a wild church like a Southern Baptist? I said, I hope so. I really hope so. Never want to be Southern Baptist until that morning. Well, you know, we get to church, everything's good until the service starts. Sister Chicken Walks late that morning. She's doing stretching exercises for the move. She's about ready to show off. And when she comes in, her seat is empty, and she doesn't even sniff. She doesn't even stop. She comes, I'm sitting in the front row with my dad. She comes up and gives me a hug as though I care. And she said, I feel led to sit with you today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want to hit her with some lead, you know. And all during worship, I'm pretending I'm singing. But I'm really saying, make her stop. Make her stop. And every time I say, make her stop, lightning, I'm in the middle. My dad's on one side just staring at her. Woo, 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 woo. And he said, and I'm looking, I said, oh. That morning, everyone had a tongue. Everyone had interpretation. Everyone had prophecy, some real, some false. Everyone had something. I thought it couldn't get any worse, and then three big ushers jump on a little lady, cast the devil out of her. We never had deliverance till my dad showed up. Then at the very end, pastor gets up to preach. By that time, I stop praying. It's not working. I got my fingers crossed behind my back. Oh, he said, come on, Lord, give me a break. Eloquent. He said, church, you'll never forget my message. I never have. He said, church, today I want to talk about being heirs of God. I want to stand up and say, it's heirs, not hairs. Silent H, come on. We are heirs of God, church. We are joint heirs with Christ. Talking about being attached to the head. Living as clean heirs. Washing in the water of God's word. And I'm staring at my dad. He's professor emeritus at Columbia Law School. Known as one of the top intellectual minds in the world. Listening to the heirs of God. I thought, you know, I knew the service about ready to be end because this guy starts crying. In that particular denomination, you can't preach unless you cry. It's in the handbook. He said, church, sometimes a hair is a serious backslides. Are you one of God's missing hairs? I said, he's got God going bald. We're driving home, and it's a miracle because I'm quiet. Well, what do you say? 15 minutes down the road, my dad said, that was different. I said, yes, sir, it was. He said, hairs to God, that's great. He said, what's he preaching on Wednesday night? I said, you go. He said, I wouldn't miss this for anything. I mean, he was on the organ. The Sister Chicken Walk by the end of the month. And he told me, he said, you know, the pastor's not very bright. I said, no, he's not. He said, but there was a different presence in the place. He was saved less than 24 hours. Then God spoke to me. He said, when you're ashamed of your church, you're ashamed of your God. And the Holy Spirit said, so when someone you cared about showed up, you asked me not to express myself. If that ever happens again, I'll never express myself in your presence ever again. So I'm going to tell you, if I think it's the Holy Ghost, we're going to go with it. If it might be the Holy Ghost, I'm going to go with it. If it could be the Holy Ghost, I've been places. I hope that's you, God. I hope. How many of you? We've been there, man. It's like, okay, that was different. I mean, I was in Texas, and I'm praying for this little lady with a neck brace. My wife says, I can't tell this in church. I said, it happened in church. I'm praying for this little lady with neck brace. Power of God hits her. I was praying for about 100 people that day, and she goes down. Well, next to her is a big, big lady. She's a friend of mine, but she's big, you know? And I laid hands on her, and she falls on the face of the little lady. And the Bible says, take no thought saying. But I thought it. I didn't say it. I thought she did. And she drunk in the Holy Ghost, and she's sitting on the lady's face. She's laughing. And, you know, I got all the ushers to get her off. And, you know, so we went down the line, pretended like we weren't concerned. Everyone else got up. The little lady's still there. I mean, everyone had left the church, me and the pastor, and the little lady still laid out. Pastor said, do you think we should take her pulse? I said, we have an evening service. If we need to raise her, I'm hungry. If we're going to raise the dead, we'll do it then. So this is the true story. There was a testimony service that night. And I'm saying, it's one of those places you sit on the platform. And the first one up was the little lady. No neck brace on anymore. This is what she said. She said, Brother Woody, everybody knows how much pain I've been in for the last couple of years. And this morning she said, you prayed for me. I really sensed the anointing, but I was hurting so bad. He said, I had my eyes closed. And I was praying in the spirit. And this is exactly what she said. She said, it seemed like I was hit by two big pillows. And all the pain left. And I fell off the bench. I couldn't take it anymore. I just couldn't take it. I said, God, that is just way too funny. That is too funny. Then I felt bad because I do have a sensitive side once I get past everything. I said, I sure hope the other lady wasn't offended. So I went up to her after the service, and she said, you want me to travel with you? You knock them down, I'll sit on them, we get them all healed. See that? So when the Holy Ghost shows up, come on now. It doesn't look like, it's not always pretty, but it works. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, we're called to make disciples of all nations. You're called to change the culture wherever you're at. Your office culture should be changed because you work there. You know? That's part of kingdom. Kingdom is you take ground, you influence. Well, I worked with Farmers Insurance Group. I'll never forget working with them. Because I just came out from being a major youth pastor of one of the largest youth groups in the country. And I'd been out of the secular world for a little while. I was in shock. Because every single word or every other word was a cuss word out of the mouths there. And it was so vile to me. And I said, God, why do you have me here? He said, I put you between the rock and hard place to save the rock and save the hard place. And for 2 years, my attitude stunk there because I felt sorry for myself. I would teach at Victory Bible Institute. You know, I literally had a stinking attitude. My attitude was just as bad as all the other workers. I just didn't use their language. And I remember one day, finally God told me, he said, you know, I really want to open doors for you to minister, but until you change the culture of this company, you can't leave. He said, you choose how long you want to be here. From that moment on, I started witnessing everything that moved. And I got a chance to lead 40 of the 42 employees to the Lord. It was an amazing type of thing. And I'll never forget that because, when I first got there, it was an awful place. When God said, now you can go into full-time ministry, I didn't want to go. Because we'd open and close in prayer. We were the number one office in America with Farmers Insurance Group. We were, I mean, it was just like, almost like heaven on earth. And I said, God, can I do both? He said, no. But there was one guy, and this is how things work. How many of you know, sometimes you don't even know you're getting through to people. I had one construction guy, and he literally had the foulest mouth I've ever heard. I mean, I would tell people, because people would say, that when the house would burn down, they'd call me and say, who do you recommend? I said, well, these guys are nice Christian guys, and they'll do okay. I said, this guy is total heathen, but everything will be done perfect. The only thing I tell you to do is leave the house. Don't have your kids around him. He's going to offend everything, but he's going to do the job. I said, I like the guy. Well, I gave him millions of dollars worth of it. I made him rich. But I had one rule. I said, you get your paycheck every Friday. And I said, for 5 minutes, I'm going to take you in the side room. Before I give you the check, I'm going to preach at you. Everyone looked forward to it. Because he said, do you mind if I cuss at you the entire time? I said, I don't care. So we called the preaching cussing section. I would actually be preaching, and he'd be cussing, and you could hear all the employees laughing at the door. And I would set the timer. After 5 minutes, when the ding went off, I would basically hand him his check every week. And I thought, and I kept thinking he would change, and he never did. Well, you know, we were thinking about moving, which we've been thinking about for years. But we looked at a house, and we wanted to put an addition on immediately. Well, you know who I was going to call. And you knew we were going to go out of town for a while. So I called this guy. I get him on the phone. The first thing out of his mouth is, Brother Woody. He said, I've been thinking about you, Brother Woody. Well, he's called me a lot of names. Brother wasn't one of them. You know, so he said, I need to tell you my story. He said, do you remember when you would preach at me and sometimes I was a little crude? I said, sometimes? You know, he said, you know, I was a very wealthy man. They said, my wife and I, we weren't able to have kids. She wasn't willing to adopt. I became an alcoholic. He said, I was driving down Broken Arrow Expressway at 130 miles an hour. I was going to go over the bridge in my brand new Corvette. Take my life. And I heard you preaching at me. He said, I pulled the car over. And actually, he said, I couldn't even get out of the car. It kind of rolled on the ground because I was so drunk. And I said, and he said, all I could say is Jesus saved me. He said, I sobered right up. He said, my wife had left me. She should have. But as soon as I accepted Jesus and I was sober, I knew I had to ask her for forgiveness. I wasn't going to ask her to take me back. I didn't deserve to be taken back. But I want to at least make it right. So he said, I drove home. And he said, I rang the doorbell. She opens the door, takes one look at me, and falls on her knees and says, you're changed. So he said, that was even before I opened my mouth. He said, what happened? He said, I just asked Jesus into my heart. She said, how do you do that? He said, I just did the Jesus save me thing with her too, and it worked. He said, I didn't know there were Christian radio stations in Tulsa, which are about 3 or 4. He said, I was listening to, you know, Christian radio station. A couple weeks later, I heard about, you know, I forget the guy's name, Josh McDowell going to Russia. And he said, I told my wife, we need to go. And he said, here we were saved less than a month, but we were in Russia handing out pamphlets and booklets trying to help people. They said, they took us to an orphanage. And he said, at the orphanage, two little kids came up to us and began to cling to us. And he said, we had such a love for these little kids, and there was a government official watching the whole thing. Now, you got to understand something. I work with the Ukraine. I work with Russia. It's impossible to get kids out of there. It's impossible. Too much red tape. Even though we set up orphanages there, but we can't get them out. This official walks over and looks at them and said, "Do you love these kids?" They said, "Yes." He said, "You want to take them home with you?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Come to my office tomorrow. I'll have all the paperwork." So he said, within a month, we got saved. We had a family. And this was 5 years later, and he said, "I can't work on your house. I just sold my business. We're going back to Russia, and we're opening up an orphanage." See, I believe when you start influencing, it keeps influencing and influencing and influencing. It's not just you. Come on now. You never know what a life you touch, how it will impact others. Come on. That's what kingdom's about. It keeps expanding, expanding, expanding. It starts as a little seed, but it grows up to be a big tree. Come on now. And everything gets under its branches. I believe we're coming into a kingdom time where we're going to see the influence, our influence of the church explode, and our individual influence. Come on. Where we can begin to pray like the prayer Jabez, "Increase me, God. Increase my influence. Increase my greatness, God." Come on now. Increase my ability to influence others. It's a kingdom thing, like a little leaven that leavens the whole bunch. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our job is to see the will of God implemented on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Does this make sense? Come on. He literally is telling us that. We're called to create a kingdom thrust of kingdom life into every sector of society, religious, government, entertainment, tech sector, family sector. As we arise and shine, people that have been waiting for light will be drawn. The glory of the Lord's risen upon us. But as long as we've done our little thing in the corner, we are not doing the thing God called us to do, which is go into all the world and literally make disciples of all nations, change the culture, implement it, become the voice of God on earth. Come on now. Literally, we have ideas that God's downloading from heaven to reshape earth. Does this make sense? See, I don't know about you, but I believe God's going to begin us to have decree things and they'll be established. He's going to begin to have us prophesy and speak wisdom to the heavenlies. He's going to begin to have us to speak a wisdom that the enemy cannot cope with. Come on now. And people are going to be drawn to the anointing of God. They'll be drawn to the presence and the favor of God. Come on. It's a kingdom thing. It's a dominion thing. It's a thing that basically God wants everyone to be saved. Is everyone going to be saved? No, but a lot of people, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Your tongue is a rudder. See, until the church begins to speak like we can actually possess the land, we never will. Till we speak like we have a voice and we have the voice. There are many voices, but when you're tapped into the voice of God, you have the voice. Come on. You have the voice. Power, life, and death is in our tongue. God's ready. Some of you, he's going to give you dreams and visions of the night. He's going to seal some stuff. That's what Job 33, 14 through 16. He talks about speaking to us in visions of the night. When you're sleeping, he'll download stuff. I believe we've limited things. I believe it's time that we get the blinders off our eyes. Because there's so much more the Holy Ghost wants to reveal. We need to recognize the time and the season we're in. Everything's changing. It's our time again. It's our time again. Come on now. It's our time. By heavenly revelation, wars are won. By heavenly strategies. By the word of the prophet, you'll succeed. By the prophetic revelations. Sometimes a lack of revelation causes a lack of visitation because people don't recognize the visitation. No one has more authority over your life than you do. Our authority level, again, is tied to our faith level. And we just got to be sensitized to the Holy Ghost. And I'm learning. I'm learning a lot of things can be averted if we'll listen to God. You know, I'm still dealing with the claim on the rental car because of a stupid deer. But a stupid deer, what? The deer wasn't stupid. The driver of the car was. Because God tried to get my attention, and I reasoned it away. Come on. All the enemy wants to do is to make you feel like you have no authority, you have no ability. And God's given you all the ability, all the authority you need in your realm. Come on. Whatever you need to fulfill your purpose, God it's in your inheritance that's available to you. Come on now. You may not be able to get the stuff other people have because you don't need the stuff they have. You need the stuff you need to fulfill your purpose. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? But it's already yours. And what I'm believing tonight is that God is going to open your eyes to your inheritance. He's going to show you your turf. And he's going to show you how to possess more turf. Because usually turf means people. People influencing people. Come on now. I believe it's time for the church to get outside the four walls. Now, thank God we can meet together, get inspired. But it's time for Ezekiel River that flows out of the building. Come on now. And everywhere they go, it's life. Everywhere they go, come on. Let's show people what the Father looks like. Let's show people the goodness of God. Come on. Let's be a positive people in the midst of a negative society. Let's overcome evil with good. Let's carry the kingdom and reveal the kingdom. Let's preach to people the power of God, the kingdom of God, that literally God is here to help them. And God is here in me to help them. Come on. I believe everywhere I go, I influence it. Believe that. Long as God's led me there. Now, there's some places I've gone where, you know, again, God can forbid you or give you a little check in your spirit and you go there. Guess what? You're not going to have much influence anyway because you weren't led by the Spirit there. But the areas you were led by the Spirit, come on. And sometimes you know you're at the right place at the right time, with the right people doing the right thing in the right way. Then you have the right results. I believe it's our turn, church. How many of you want to make a difference? How many of you say, God, I want that kingdom influence increase, 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 increase. Show me, God. Show me more. Show me the areas you want me. I mean, you know, this thing with the sex traffic, it's starting to explode in me because God showed it to me. We're starting to see results. That's a whole group I didn't even know existed. I heard of it. But my heart wasn't there, and then one day, all of a sudden, it's like, God, these kids are slaves. Got to set the captives free. They're little victims. My son feels that way about orphans. He don't have to work it up. It's just there. God placed it there. I know when he did. I believe God wants to mark us tonight. He wants to mark us for our arena. Come on now. If you want prayer, come on up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you'll be I'm going to pray that you'll see areas you've never seen before. If you need a healing, I'm going to pray that you'll be the healed. Come on now. I believe this is the season. I believe this is a kingdom time. Come on now. God's given us the keys. You know, God gets blamed because we don't use keys. Some of you have been putting up with so much too long. You know, I'm fighting back. I don't know about you. I'm fighting back now. I got my fight back. And you know, guess what? I like slapping the devil. I like stomping on him. I enjoy watching progress. And guess what? You can get to a point where when you get hit, it doesn't hurt like it used to. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. And it's almost like you can't stop me now. I am not backing off because of some little silly little thing. And you know, I take every thought captive because we're going to win this thing. Yeah, we've been given the victory. We're going to see it implemented. Lift your hands up towards heaven. Let's thank God. Thank God for the breakthrough. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God the kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. This is your season now. Oh, God says, I've been breathing it in you again. Breathing a fresh fire. Breathing influence into you again. I am the influencer. And I'm going to give you influence. And you're going to see things open up. And I said, call unto me. Call to me and begin to call forth everything you need. Stop looking at what you don't have. Because I got it. Call it. Call it. Call it. Call forth the laborers. Call forth the laborers. Call forth. You know, I hear God just saying the deal's still on and there are more workers that you need. So call forth the workers, but don't have them come in unless you're willing to put them to work. Because I'm going to begin to give them new assignments, and you're going to begin to not just do a little thing in the corner. You're going to begin to influence all of society. I gave you a vision years ago about how you would influence the government. He said, I'm breathing on that once again. And watch what I'll do, declares God. See, what I found out, sometimes, you know, God's brought me back to that thing where I'm doing leadership, 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 leadership. And, for 20 years ago, I did that a lot. In the last 20 years, I backed away from it. And I thought, you know, I should be further along. Who wants to listen to me? You know, and yet I'm finding out a lot of people. And the anointing of God is there. And this is a new season. This is a new day. This is a new power. This is new authority. There's a new explosion going on. It's like, God, we're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over. Oh. You're going to see it happen in every area, and especially in your family, you're going to see an explosion of the anointing of God like never before. Things that have been held up is about ready to be released. You're going to see those chains broken in Jesus' name. Oh, you've influenced on one level, but your influence is going to a whole different level. There's a fresh anointing. Come on. There it is. Watch out. This is the day. This is the day. This is the hour. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's the Holy Ghost explosion. Oh, I'm breathing all over you. I'm breathing on things. I'm showing you stuff. I'm giving you prophetic things to speak and to proclaim. Showing you things to come. Even in loved ones' lives, you speak it over, speak it over, speak it over, speak it over. Come on. Oh, your words have power to create. We release that now in Jesus' name. See, the power of life and death is in the tongue. When we use it rightly, watch out. There's a Holy Ghost explosion. Influence is increasing, increasing. It's like everything's lining up right now. You know, all of a sudden, you're released to be you. Come on now. You are released, and what is, you're finding out who you really are in Christ. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. God, I knew there was more. Well, you've stepped into the inheritance. That's more and more and more. And God's revealing the inheritance to you. And now you're possessing arenas in Jesus. Whoa, take it. Woo! Oh, your portion is growing. Your portion is growing. I love it. Hey, if we, you know, I always like big portions, which is why I look the way I do. But, you know, I was to say, if you don't want your portion, I'll eat it. I still say, God, if they don't want what you've given them, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. This is more and more and more and more. It's not, what I love about you, it's not about you. Never has been. What it is about is influence. And that influence is increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. And you're going to see loved ones. You know something? You're going to begin to take authority softly. But God said, I'm going to move powerfully. Watch what I'll do. I'll bring everything into line. Come on now. You walk in knowing you're in charge. You don't have to say, I'm in charge. But you know you are. It's a new day. It's a new day. You're walking in a whole different realm. And there are a lot of lives at stake. And you're going to watch those little ones. You're going to be able to help others. You're going to reproduce yourself. It's on a mentoring time. You've been through it. Now you can impart it. So you can teach what you know. You can impart who you are. This is who you are. It's what you live for because it is your life. We release that anointing now. I love that. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart. It's some natural things. Why not? Why not? I found out you seek first the kingdom. All these other stuff. Jesus added. You know, it's like, God, I haven't had time to pursue what a lot of the world is pursuing. But guess what? It seems to come to me quicker than it comes to them. You know? And, you know, it's so much fun. And you're growing so fast. And then, oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Sit on them, Lord. You might as well sit on them. Woo! You just said, yeah, not by our power, not by our might, it's by the Spirit of God. And he's going to begin to show you what's yours. You might as well dream so big, because God got big dreams for you. You might as well ask big, because he's got big stuff he wants to release towards you. There's a world changer on the inside of you. And you might as well just get ready for it, because there's a sweetness that's coming through you, the sweet aroma of the fragrance of the knowledge of God. He's just going to begin to visit in a very fresh way. This is your season. You know, he's releasing us. He's healing us to release us. You know, he's healing you from the past so that now you can go on. You can become a history maker. For a little while, it looked like you were history. But God said, hey, I got an eraser. And there's some chapters you don't want to relive. God said, don't worry about it. I got an eraser. So as far as I'm concerned, those things never existed. He said, I'm just reauthoring faith all about you. Faith, 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 faith. Your youth is going to be renewed like the eagles. And things you think you missed out on are going to find you. We release that anointing now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, some of you, I'm finding out some of the things that we are dear to us. God knows that. He's about ready to give us our heart's desire. He's stirring things in you. You're a champion. The power and the anointing of God is on you. And you're going to see, you take a stand for what's right. You're going to fight for what's right. You're a champion. It's on the inside. It's part of your DNA. You're an overcomer. It's part of your DNA. And I see you as a climber. But you're going to climb out of certain things. You're going to say, well, God, you know, it's always been this way. Well, not for you. You're moving on up. You might as well get excited. I release that anointing now, because you're going to see, you're an overcomer. You're a champion. It's in you. It's in you. Come on now. It's in you. Come on. The miracles are working. The anointing's working. The glory is working. Woo! Ah, yeah, I got that inheritance. Woo! Woo! Oh, you know, I love it when you get a major inheritance. Woo! Woo, yes, that's the goodness. It's coming on you. Goodness and mercy, they're jumping all over you. Woo! Oh! It's a whole new day of faith.
Yeah.
It's a whole new day of faith. It's a talababa babon day.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Ooh, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, oh.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Up, running, jumping, leaping. Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The leap of faith.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know. Something good is on its way.
Hallelujah.
Something good. Something good. Something very, 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 very good. You've seen it.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to walk in what you've seen.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We've seen. And we're going to see more and see more and see more. Sister Seymour. Sister Seymour. You'll see more and more and more. And it's going to be so much fun. Because what you see in the Spirit is the reality. It's the real reality. We release that now. And you might as well take another dose. Woo! Yeah. We rule, we reign, and we see loved ones turn. And their faith ignited even stronger in Jesus' name. God's given favor. He's opening doors. Get ready for Him. New doors. New doors. New doors. New doors. New doors. Yeah.
That's what I need to be moved.
Yeah. I'm believing God that the sphere of influence is increasing. That people are going to be drawn to you. And many times they're going to open up the door, so it's going to be real easy for you to allow that thing on. I mean, there's conversation. God said, I'm going to begin to lead the conversations. And you'll see. They'll begin to question you, well, how did you do this? How did you get that? And it's going to open up, and you're going to begin to put hooks and jaws and cause things to influence. And they're going to be drawn to the wisdom. And your workplace will become a ministry place where there's a fresh flow. A fresh flow. Not, you've already got the flow of favor. But you have a flow of wisdom beginning to flow out of you. And, you know, you'll have supernatural conversations, and you won't even know it until later on. Say, whoa, that changed everything. Yeah, there's a great boldness coming, but it's going to be a natural, supernatural boldness. Not something you have to work up. Yeah, and I'm seeing that, yeah. We're going to see that place change. Why not? Why, if we work at a place, why not take over the place? You know? I've seen it. When I left Farmers, I was the most influential person in that office. I came in the lowest man on the totem pole. And when I left, God was in control. But He wouldn't have been in control if I hadn't released Him. Once I opened up and was who I was supposed to be, the rest was kingdom. I believe we're carrying something that we just got to release. And we're going to see, let's believe God for this city to change. Let's believe God for the financial condition of this city, the new businesses, new facelifts, new faces in office. Renewed things. Because I believe there's a shakeup coming. And God has actually brought people in to key positions. And it's going to, all of a sudden, he's orchestrating something that is going to put God right back in the seat of authority in this place. Come on now. Well, Pastor, I've